KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS, 88.1 FM in Falls Pass, and KKQA, 88.1 FM in Accutan, Alaska.
Coming up on KUCB News, an Alaska's top fisheries consultant looks ahead to pollock bee season, and the Aleutic Museum in Kodiak reopened just in time for its 30th anniversary. Stay tuned.
Support comes from GCI, introducing GCI Plus Internet and Mobile, to help customers stream, work, and connect without limits. Terms and conditions apply. Details at gci.com/gci-plus.
Good afternoon, and thanks for joining us. It's Monday, June 2nd, 2025. Happy Pride Month, and happy National Rotisserie Chicken Day. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. I'm your host, Andy Lusk, with some local news from Unalaska. The first half of the Bering Sea pollock season wrapped up about a month ago, and local officials say it was a good start to the fishery. That's a breath of fresh air amid many uncertainties within the seafood industry. Unalaska's fisheries advisor Frank Kelty says the A season, that runs from mid-January to the end of April, was excellent this year.
Fishing was strong. They had between 700 and 800 gram fish, which makes not the real large pollock fillets, but it makes it's good fillet quality fish. And the fillet market seems to be very strong.
While Kelty is feeling optimistic about the upcoming B season for pollock, he says he's still keeping an eye on instability in federal fisheries management.
That's concerning when you see, 35 of your long-term scientists either take early retirement or decide to retire.
Those roughly 30 scientists Kelty is referring to worked for the Northwest Fisheries Science Center in Seattle. That's part of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. The scientists told the Seattle Times they left their jobs in the wake of the Trump administration's budget cuts, calling the subsequent working conditions untenable. Some NOAA employees lost their jobs following cuts at the federal level earlier this year as well, but have since been reinstated. It's also unclear what the future holds for seafood prices as President Donald Trump's tariff policies head to court. But despite new challenges shoreside, there's still plenty of pollock left to catch in this year's harvest. Fisheries management upped that number by 6% from last year. Kelty expects pollock to continue driving the local economy in Unalaska as it has for years.
I think the last bee season, the last 2 years, have been very, very steady, good fishing. And I would assume, since A season performed so well, that we would have a good bee season harvest as well.
Pollock bee season kicks off June 10th, with most of the annual pollock harvest still left to catch. The Aleutic Museum is finally open after a nearly two-year closure to about double its public space, just in time to celebrate its 30th anniversary. KMXT's Brian Venois was at the grand reopening.
Aleutic dancers could be heard throughout the museum. They sang and danced as the crowd filled the new event space and checked out exhibits. Wook is one of the dancers.
Since we were so spread apart, our villages, it's a little bit harder. So seeing all the effort that was put into bringing the museum together again, all the dancers together, it's been really awesome.
They split their time between Kodiak and Yuzinki, one of the villages on the northern end of the archipelago, home to about 100 people. Wook says they were happy to see how things have changed since the last time they got a tour.
The exhibits before were amazing. I loved them. I would walk through and just so amazed at everything I saw. But now, it's like an explosion of like different kinds of art.
That was the general sentiment of the grand reopening. The Aleutic Museum nearly doubled its exhibit space as part of a $14 million construction project. It used to have 400 objects and art pieces displayed before it closed. Now that construction's complete, almost 700 items are on display with some extra breathing room to take it all in. Wook felt a wave of excitement as they walked the halls.
I've seen, like, I think there was like 5 Otkuk in there, which is like our clothing parkas, and that was just, it's so awesome. Like, for a long time, I didn't even know some of the things that we've had in there, but yeah, it's just, it's a whole different world is what it feels like now.
The museum board's president, Lorena Skonberg, felt the same way.
The Aleutic culture, when I was growing up, you know, we weren't really sure. It was sort of the beginning of the period of revival, and now it's like people know what Aleutics are. We're Aleutic people. You know, we come from Kodiak Island Archipelago. You know, we identify with our villages.
Skonberg says having their culture honored and displayed like this is huge. There's a whole section of the museum that shows how Aleutic culture is still celebrated and passed down. Shauna Hegna is another board member.
You know, when I grew up in Port Lyons, we dreamed of a time when we could see all of our youth dancing and our elders speaking our language. And this generation, my children's generation, are realizing that.
She says she's proud of the museum's role in that work.
Some would say the day that the doors opened, the museum was already too small. We just have so many artifacts and pieces of our living culture to share with the public and the community, and it feels like they finally have a home that's deserving of the magnitude.
And the reopening is just the start. While Hegna is wrapping up her time on the board, she's excited to see how the museum continues to help keep Aleutic culture alive.
Well, it has been tears of joy tonight. My heart is full, and I feel like my soul is singing. I'm sorry. This is so incredible. There were hundreds of people who gave their personal time, their personal resources. They volunteer to be able to celebrate our living culture, not only in Kodiak and in our villages, but with visitors from around the world. And that's incredible.
Touring the new exhibits, I'm Brian Venwa.
Hundreds of Filipino teachers are flocking to Alaska as school districts look abroad to fill teacher vacancies. But it's not the first time Alaska employers have looked to the island nation for extra hands in a labor shortage. KMXT's Brian Venwa reports in part 4 of his feature series, Mabuhaysa, Alaska. This wave is the latest in a century of ebb and flow from the Philippines.
School administrators from Alaska tore a public school. The administrators are seeing what teachers from the Philippines that they hire experience before moving to the last frontier state. These are the kids that get left behind when Filipino teachers are hired abroad. Mahinay Salvilia, Ronel Libador, and Giana Pareno all applied to jobs in Alaska this year.
I'm a seasoned teacher in the Philippines. I'm excited to also to share my expertise, my skills in the students in Alaska, and then to bring our culture, the Filipino culture, students in Alaska likewise.
The mountains, I really wanted to feel a little bit, you know, cold in the snow. And of course, I have watched a documentary about Alaska that's wow, it's really wow for me.
If Alaska is where the magic happens, then I'll go there.
When recruiters opened up appointments for screening, all 720 spots were filled in just 16 minutes. The only advertising? A few posts on social media. The consequence of highly skilled teachers leaving means fewer quality mentors for kids in the Philippines. This is a phenomenon known as brain drain. Conversely, Alaska gets a brain gain. Hiring teachers has largely been a success for the state's kids. Alaska districts are hiring some of the most highly educated teachers from the island nation. Kodiak Island Borough School District, for example, has more doctorate degrees from its 30 or so Filipino teachers than it does from its over 300 American hires. The district's superintendent, Cindy Mika, says there have been more remarkable candidates than they can hire during recruiting trips.
We were impressed with the quality of teachers that we met over there, and we were able to choose from there the top of the top.
It's hard to say what the impact is on the Philippines, though. Mika says her district is filling its teacher shortage with the Philippines' surplus of workers.
In fact, a lot of the teachers that we interviewed in the Philippines, when they first got their start, it was as a volunteer teacher. They weren't being paid because there weren't jobs. They're producing too many teachers.
But Mika grew up in the Philippines too. She's concerned that taking so many highly qualified teachers could create a sort of skill ceiling there if the country's best teachers keep leaving for Alaska and other destinations. That doesn't change Mika's priority, though, the kids in the community where she works.
My number one concern as a superintendent in Kodiak is getting the best quality teachers we can in front of our students. If we didn't have these Filipino teachers, who would we have?
But it's not just a one-way street. Many Filipinos working abroad send a lot of money home, 8% of the country's economy, according to some reports. Their experience, professional development, and cultural know-how gained in the U.S. is valuable too, and sometimes comes back. One of Mika's friends in the Philippines, Edna Oxtero, is the administrator for Tagaytay Christian Academy, a private school about a two-hour drive from Manila. One of TCA's top music students performed at a celebration Oxtero held to greet Mika and other Alaska administrators touring the school. She says hiring Filipino teachers is a huge compliment to the country's educational system.
I'm so proud that they're even interested to get Filipinos. That's always my dream, that priority for employment in other countries are Filipinos.
Filipino teachers being recruited around the world has become a source of national pride for her, even though she's sort of competing for those same candidates. Oxtero's principal and many of TCA's teachers are also its alumni, and she hopes some of them could go to Alaska someday and return with new skills. She's playing the long game.
My hope is that they will come back to build the nation and impart all their knowledge experiences to the next generation so that Philippines will rise up also.
They can expect that for J-1 teachers, teachers under J-1 visas.
That's Sergio Gutierrez, a Kodiak music teacher and one of the district's recruiters. J-1 visas require international hires to go back to their home countries after a few years, but he and many others are on potential paths to permanent residency through H-1B visas. Gutierrez has been one of the biggest success stories of Alaska schools recruiting from Southeast Asia. He's lauded by administrators, parents, and students. He even volunteers for multiple nonprofits and at events across the island. He still thinks about the kids at the private school he used to teach back in Iloilo City, though.
I do worry sometimes. I was thinking about it before resigning, but well, I told myself it's for me. The kids, they would gain more experience. They're still young, but I'm not getting any younger, so I need to do something for myself too as well.
He says Kodiak is his home now.
I do love my country. I do love the Philippines, but I think being a teacher in Kodiak, being here in Alaska, opened a lot of opportunities.
He says he's not sure he would have had the same chances to travel and play piano and violin publicly in the Philippines. Gutierrez was one of the first teachers in Alaska in this wave on an H-1B visa. He hopes he can be one of the first to get a green card through the school and stay in the U.S. indefinitely. Reporting in Kodiak, Anchorage, Tagaytay, and Pajo, I'm Brian Venois.
That was part four of a five-part series about U.S. school districts looking to address teacher shortages by finding candidates abroad, specifically in the Philippines. We'll be finishing the series in our newscast tomorrow, so tune in at noon and 5 to hear the final installment. If you haven't seen it yet, you can head to kucb.org for a look at your new and improved community calendar. We hope you like the new layout. Let's take a look at what's happening in Unalaska this week. The Museum of the Aleutians is hosting a commemorative open house through Wednesday. Museum admission will be free to honor those who served and to remember the impact of World War II on Aleutian communities. Head to the public library tonight from 6:30 to 8 o'clock for a presentation of Unalaska students' National History Day websites. In addition to learning more about projects like how bananas caused a coup in Guatemala and the contaminated formerly used defense sites in the Aleutians, you'll have an opportunity to help these student historians practice questions for the national contest in Washington, D.C. All are welcome. Youth wrestling camp kicks off today in the high school small gym. Coach Rainier Marquez is teaching future Raider wrestlers the fundamentals of wrestling until Friday from 1 to 3 o'clock in the afternoon each day. Kids from kindergarten through 8th grade are welcome. It's $40 to participate. Learn about basic soil management and composting in the Aleutian and Pribilof Islands with an hour-long class Wednesday from the University of Alaska Fairbanks. The class will be held via Zoom from 5:30 to 6:30. Register online in advance. The link is available at the community calendar. And for info on everything else happening in town, check out your community calendar at kucb.org. That's the news from Unalaska. This is KUCB 89.7 FM. I'm your host, Andy Lusk. For more local coverage and community events, check out our website at kucb.org. Stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts. Make it a great week.
It's time now for your community window here on KSDP. Starting with job openings, the QT Tribe of Sandpoint is looking for a grant writer, an executive director, and an environmental assistant. The Shimbigan Corporation of Sandpoint is hiring a bartender and a janitor. The Palof Harbor Tribe is looking for a tribal environmental coordinator. The City of Sandpoint is looking for a part-time pole tap sales assistant. The King Cove Department of Public and Safety is looking to hire a certified police officer. Interested applicants can contact the King Cove PD at 907-497-2210. EATS is hiring a behavioral health trainee and a community health representative. Both of those positions can be in Sandpoint or King Cove. They're also hiring a clinical information clerk for King Cove, a community health aide for Falls Pass and Nelson Lagoon, and a clinical information clerk slash janitor for Cold Bay. And today is May 30th, 2025. Happy birthday to Clarence Gallivan. Happy birthday to Dahl Kachutin. And happy anniversary to Julia and Rob Tripp. And that's all for the community window. If you have anything you'd like for us to put on the air or web, you can contact us through email at cw@apradio.org. You can call us at 997-383-5737, or you can still fax us at 907-383-5271. Also look for updates, meeting archives, and more at apradio.org. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Aleutian Peninsula Broadcasting is generously supported by the City of Sandpoint. Sandpoint is a first-class city in the Aleutians East Borough, located on Humboldt Harbor on the northwestern Popoff Island. Anchorage is 575 nautical miles to the northeast. The Sandpoint City Council meets the second Tuesday of every month at 7 p.m. in the City Hall Council Chambers. Contact the City of Sandpoint by calling 907-383-2696, emailing sptcity@arctic.net, or visiting their website at sandpointak.com.
Sing us. a song, play guitar, make it snappy. Out and tease. Please don't be sad if it was a straight line you had. We wouldn't have known what he's
Yeah. My baby has caused my heart to bleed. Wow, every morning I'm crying the blues. Every morning I see a whole lot of people lose their soul, lose their faith. Every morning I'm fighting for the
Yeah. for the CIA, they wouldn't have you in the bye-bye.
You are listening to KSDP Radio, 830 AM Sandpoint, 88.1 FM on translator, K21DA, King Cove, Alaska.
Oh, menu in his hand, walking through the streets of Soho in the rain. He was looking for the place called Lee Ho Fooks, gonna get a big dish of beef chow mein. Kitchen door. You better not let him in. Little old lady got mutilated late last night. Werewolves of London again. Gent who ran amok in Kent. Lately he's been overheard in Mayfair. You better stay away from him, he'll rip your lungs out, Jim. I'd like to meet his tailor. With the Queen, doing the werewolves of London. I saw Lon Chaney Jr. walking with the Queen, doing the werewolves of London. I saw a werewolf drinking a pina colada at Trader Vic's. His hair was perfect.
Just for me, as the seasons change, remember how I used to be. Now I can't go on, I can't even start. I got nothing left, just an empty heart. I'm a soldier, wounded, so I must give up the fight. There's nothing more for me, lead me away. Or leave me lying here. Thank you. sound the bugle now. Tell them I don't care. There's not a road I know that leads to anywhere. Without a light, I fear that I will stumble in the dark. Lay right down, decide not to go on. Then from on high, somewhere in the distance, there's a voice that calls, remember. So be strong tonight. Remember who you are. Yeah, you're a soldier now.
This is Dmitry Filimonov, President and CEO of the Aleutian Pribilof Islands Association.
Over the last 5 years, APIA's Tribal Child Support Program has collected and distributed nearly $1.5 million, with 100% of those funds going to parents raising our next generation. We offer flexible and holistic case management to families. All residents of the Regional 10 communities are eligible for this alternative to state child support. To apply, please go to apiai.org or call 1-800-478-2742.
Remember, if you are in Anchorage, please come visit the Unangamulla, home of the Aleuts. Unangam, Atakan, Akun, we are one.
This message brought to you by the Aleutian Pribilof Islands Association.